today on the Pure Sweat Basketball Show.
I want anyone that follows me on social media to feel like I'm serving them and giving them some good information, because that is my goal. And if I'm not doing that, then I'm not really serving a purpose.
Maybe I led you to believe it was easy when it wasn't. Maybe I made you think my highlights started at the free throw line and not in the gym.
Turn my headphones up!
Let's eliminate the will to win and think about the will to prepare to win.
That's how winning is done!
It's about being a great teammate. It's about being accountable to one another. It's about being tough. It's about doing the right things for each other, but it's about doing it every day.
This is Fran Frischeller from ESPN, and you are listening to the Pure Sweat Basketball Show.
Thanks for joining us in our effort to bring timely, relevant microclinics to coaches all across the world. Today's show is brought to you by Dr. Dish, the innovative shooting machine that gives you more options. This is Rich Sislowski, and if you were with us for the last episode, you know we are flipping the script on our host, Alan Stein, this week, putting him through four interviews in a variety of subject areas to help the Pure Sweat fam get to know the man behind the mic. Last episode, we got some background info, and today we are talking about how he built his significant social media presence. Alan, you built a very large, engaged audience on social media as you built your reputation in the industry over the last 15 years. What were some of the keys to that success in building that engaged audience?
You've read Outliers, right?
Yeah. Yes.
And hopefully most of our audience has read Outliers. One of the key things in Outliers, one of the themes, and if you haven't read it, put this at the top of your book list, was kind of, you almost have to be in the right place at the right time for something to work. And when social media hit, you know, 2007, 2008, 2009, I was probably at the perfect age from a maturity standpoint, an experience standpoint, and in my career to fully embrace it. You know, I had enough experience behind me that I had some things that I wanted to share, to utilize the platforms, but I was also young enough to embrace this technology and this medium and got really excited about things like Twitter and YouTube and Facebook. So, you know, had social media started when I was 50, maybe I wouldn't have embraced it so much. If it would have started when I was 9, I probably wouldn't have used it for the right reasons, which, you know, we see a lot of kids doing today. So I think, one, I was in it at the right time. I immediately saw it as a great way to learn from other people. It's like, you mean I can follow Rich Sislowski and any thought that he has, I'm going to see it immediately and I can take notes and write it down? Yeah, I'm into that. And then at that point, I had a lot of things I wanted to share. You know, I would speak at clinics and coaches would be kind enough to email me and say, hey, Alan, I enjoyed your clinic. Where can I hear more of this? Well, now social media is there. Just follow me on Twitter or Facebook or YouTube and I can share some really good stuff with you. And then the third prong of what I've always believed in, as you mentioned, it's about engagement. I mean, I'm in coaching for the relationships and the personal connections with other human beings. And social media opened that up on a worldwide basis. I mean, I'm able to connect now with people and we'll have serious back and forths that are on the other side of the world and I've never met before and may never meet, but we still have some type of relationship. So to be able to learn, to be able to share, and to be able to engage in the basketball community, I mean, it was perfect for me.
Obviously, social media can be a little bit of a hotbed at times with controversial statements and conversations and that type of thing. Are there any rules that you kind of adhered to in terms of how you conducted yourself on social?
Yeah, and thankfully, you were the one that mentored me in many of those rules. The primary one being, is this something that needs to be said? Is this something that needs to be said by me? And is this something that needs to be said by me right now? And I don't live my life with regret, but I can go back to a handful of tweets or posts that I didn't live by that mantra, and it ended up burning me. I, you know, those that know me, I'm an emotional guy. When I get fired up about something, like, I'm all in. And so when I read something that's controversial, and many times I want to add my two cents to it. But if I always go back to that lesson you taught me about whether or not that needs to be posted, that's helped tremendously. Those that know me on a personal level know that I have an affinity for colorful language, but I'm proud to say that I've posted 120,000 tweets and have never posted foul language or anything risque. Same thing on Facebook or any other medium. So I've been able to exercise some discipline and some control. As I get older and hopefully wiser and more experienced, I do have some staunch opinions on certain things, and I'm becoming more comfortable with being okay sharing those opinions, and I never mind stirring up debate. I want to be someone that causes people to think. I don't want to tell them how to think or what to think, or rather, I do want them you know, to think, but I'm not trying to implant what I believe in them. But I like stirring up conversations and debate. And I think that makes all of us sharper. You know, if you and I are going to debate any issue, not only do I have to be strong in my own convictions, but I have to, if I'm smart, see your vantage point so it can strengthen my convictions. Even if you and I disagree, I need to know where you're coming from. I need to know what your belief points are in order for my own convictions to be stronger. So I think, and I've gotten in some debates, and every once in a while, and this is very rare, someone will troll me a little bit and they'll do something to try to egg me into an inappropriate conversation. And it's a struggle for me because the emotional often can go, you know, swing for the fences personality that I have wants to engage at that. But I'm getting much better at just pulling back because I really want social media to be something that's extremely positive. And I know there's a lot of garbage out there in general, and I don't ever want to be a part of that. I want anyone that follows me on social media to feel like I'm serving them and giving them some good information, because that is my goal. And if I'm not doing that, then I'm not really serving a purpose.
So over the 8 years or so that you've been active on this and kind of positioning yourself really as an influencer, especially in our industry, what have you seen change with social media? What things have, I mean, obviously a lot has changed, but what are the most noticeable things to you that have changed over those 8 years?
Well, one thing I think is great is I think a lot more older and more experienced coaches have started to embrace it and they've started to jump on. And I've always told folks, you know, even if you don't have a lot to say, that's okay. Still be on there as a silent observer. Still be on there to learn. I mean, whatever, if we're in the basketball bubble, so for us to not follow the top 20 basketball influencers or conduits of change, we'd be foolish. Why would we not want to learn from those folks? So again, I'm a huge advocate of everyone should be active on social, even if you're only being an active listener. As far as the change, I think... the platforms have certainly changed, or at least the platforms of choice. You know, I know when I first got into this, Twitter was the primary one in 2008, 2009. I mean, that was where I built most of my original audience. And then kind of YouTube, Facebook was always just more something kind of to stay in touch with high school friends and college friends. And a lot of that has really shifted. You know, I mean, now it'd be hard to argue that Instagram and Snapchat aren't two of the hottest platform. So for me, it's taking my general philosophy of trying to share, trying to learn, and trying to engage, and then weaving that into each of the different platforms. And I know for me, one of the biggest changes was I basically posted the same stuff across every platform when I first started. So it was very redundant. Now I try to make things, just like we do with the Pure Sweat as a whole, very platform specific. Who's my audience on Snapchat? Let me make sure I'm speaking to them. Who's my audience on Facebook? Let me make sure I'm posting content that's appropriate for them and speaking directly to them. And while it may have the same underlying message, there are some different nuances for each platform. And I think that's probably been the biggest change outside of just general acceptance by everyone.
Let's go back to, you mentioned following top basketball minds and influencers. What do you see on social now? Who gets it? Who do you like? And then who, you know, what things do you see out there? Not necessarily people, but what things do you see that you really don't care for?
Well, when I'm following someone, I want them to either be a creator or I want them to be a curator. I'm going to follow someone because they're putting out original new content. And again, as we've said in the basketball space, that's not always the easiest to do. I mean, we take a lot of pride in Pure Sweat at being innovative with what we do. And, you know, I know Drew's very young and Drew's one of the most innovative people that I've ever met. And his philosophies and convictions on training are second to none. But a lot of the stuff that I gravitate towards is simply curated material. Is if I'm following somebody and they're constantly reading and watching and listening to stuff that maybe I'm not, and they're giving me some insight into that, those are the best types of people to follow. And really, that's my only reason for following someone is they post something that adds value to my life. Because I get hit up all of the time. Hey, Coach Stein, why don't you follow me? And I said, well, until you start posting something that makes my life better, I'm not going to. And I do that for a couple reasons. I don't do that out of any hint of arrogance. I do it just to say, if you want someone to watch, then you need to add value to their life. And usually that's the spark that changes what they post. They go from posting just useless drivel to, hey, every time I'm going to hit the post button, I want this to be something that adds value to another human being's life. So those are the main types of people that I want to follow. And, you know, I think in today's day and age, video is king. So, you know, being able to watch something is extremely important. You know, I think some of the motivational, inspirational memes are still important, but a lot of those are starting to get played out. And I know one thing at Pure Sweat we take a lot of pride in is we want to kind of lead that change. And, you know, there've been some things that we've started at Pure Sweat that other people have really enjoyed and liked, but now they're trying to do the exact same thing. So now we have to be the pioneers to find what's next. And I'll follow anyone that I think is a thought leader, a change agent, or just provides quality information.
Do you have two or three favorites that you follow across all platforms or in any specific platform?
You know, it's funny because we saw him last night. We're up here in New York at Sports Tank. Vasu Kulkarni is an interesting one because now he will post some stuff that is politically incorrect, but that's just who he is. But he's such a brilliant guy. And if, first of all, we're all attracted to humor just as human beings. And Vasu posts some stuff that I think is absolutely hilarious, but there's really some brilliance in between some of the funny things that he posts. I mean, he has a keen eye for tech. He loves basketball arguably more than anyone I've ever met in my entire life. So guys like that, in addition to, I mean, Jay Billis and Jay Williams and those guys, I mean, they're on the pulse of everything. And again, talk about a guy that can add humor to situations. I think Jay Billis is arguably one of the funniest and most intelligent people I've ever met, present company excluded, of course. And it's really remarkable. So the best thing to do, I mean, just go to my Twitter profile and see who I follow. And I'm telling you, I follow those people for a reason. So if you're looking for anyone, just look in my feed at who I follow.
Perfect. You answered this a little bit with how you've changed what you put on each platform and tailoring it to that platform. But over the course of the 8 years, what do you find yourself doing differently? I mean, what things do you do now that you didn't even think about doing maybe when you started on social?
I think it's looking at things more from a macro level. When I first started, I was so confined to the performance box. Let me give you an exercise that will make you faster. Let me give you a drill that will improve mobility in your hips. And while that part's still important to me, now I realize the mission's much greater. Let me share something that might make you a better parent to your children in the coaching world. Let me share something that might improve a young person's ability to be a leader on their team. Let me share something with a coach that might improve their culture and their team cohesion. So I've tried to expand outside of just being a basketball performance coach that shares exercises, drills, sets, and reps. That stuff will always be there and that stuff's always important, but I think my mission is much bigger. And that's only come with age and experience and to realize basketball is just the platform for my greater purpose, which is to serve other people and in any capacity that I can. And I've just been lucky to do that through basketball because that was my first and still burning passion.
I know you're also a self-proclaimed quote nerd.
Yes.
And that was a big part of your social strategy, I know, for a very long time.
Yep.
Not that you've gone away from it, but that's something that's a little different now, too. I think it's not just quotes. You've got to deliver them a little bit differently. Talk about that a little bit.
You know, well, when I first got into coaching, I was emulating and trying to be the coaches that I really looked up to. So, you know, Coach K is someone that has served as kind of an idol to me. So, and I think a lot of young coaches go through that they're not their true authentic selves because they're trying to be somebody that they look up to. And I know I did that when I first started. You could say the same thing on social. When I first started on social, I didn't have a voice. I didn't know what to say. So I just took all of these quotes that I'd been collecting for years and just posted those. Well, now everybody's posting quotes and most of the quotes that people are posting are quotes that we've already seen 1,000 times. So in today's landscape, that ends up just being noise. Like if I'm going to post a quote that you and I have both heard 1,000 times, that's not really serving anyone anymore. So now I've got to find something else. So it's constantly trying to find the next thing that I believe will help enrich other people's lives and serve other people. And now I don't think just posting quotes will do that unless it's timely and topical. If something happens in the NBA last night, and then there's a quote that I remember that would fit what happened, all right, that's a little bit different. But just randomly posting quotes just doesn't get it done anymore. But that is literally how I cut my teeth in social. That was all I did, was just post quotes. And so now I'd like to think that I've evolved and grown and can add more to someone's life than just simply regurgitating a quote.
Just in general, is there anything that you would do differently if you could go back 8 years ago, or do you feel like the journey has been more valuable than being able to do it over?
Yeah, the journey has been extremely valuable, and I've really learned through experience, learned through a ton of trial and error. I think Twitter was the one that really started it, and I was not near as quick to embrace the other platforms. I wasn't very quick to embrace Instagram. I definitely was not very quick to embrace Snapchat. I kept kind of hanging my hat on Twitter, and not to say that Twitter's not still relevant. It certainly is, and I have some good engagement on there. But the only thing I'd do different would be open to new platforms and jumping all in with those instead of waiting till it's too late. I mean, I was the last guy in the pool with Instagram and with Snapchat. I wish I would have embraced those earlier. Again, it's not, to me, it's not about a numerical following anymore. I mean, that again is probably something that changed. When I first started, my ego would get in the way and it was all about following. I mean, I'm checking every morning, how many Twitter followers do I have? Like, that's has anything to do with my self-worth. Now it's more about, like, who's listening to what I'm saying? How many people are retweeting or liking or commenting on something that I post? If it's minimal, then I realize that post wasn't very valuable. And then I just make a mental note, okay, I don't need to post that again or anything on that topic. So I've done better at kind of learning, because at the end of the day, my goal on social is to serve the people that are following and listening. And if they're not following or listening, then I'm not really doing my job. And I saw Louis C.K. was on Jimmy Fallon last week and was talking about when he's working on new material and he tries it out at a club. He's like, it doesn't matter how funny I think it is. If the audience doesn't laugh, then it's not funny. They're the ones that decide. So same thing on social. I might see or hear or read something I think is really valuable, and if I put it out there to my audience and it doesn't resonate, then it was a swing and a miss. But that's okay. You have to have a couple swings and misses before you hit a home run. So that part's not a big deal.
So expanding on that a little bit, if you were to give advice to someone whose goal is, hey, I'm just kind of getting into this social game and I want to build a following, what quick advice would you give to them?
Content is king. Don't look for any quick fixes. Don't look for any shortcuts. Every single post, there should be a reason behind why you're posting that. And I've always believed that 9 out of 10 posts that I make personally should be to add value to the life of the person that's receiving that post, watching that video, seeing that meme. And the 1 out of 10 is just something I want to share. Maybe it's a picture of my children, as everybody ribs me for. Maybe it's what I had for lunch, a picture of my food. Those are kind of a personal glimpse into what my life is. But 9 out of 10 of my posts, I want to be serving someone in a direct way. Listen to this podcast, it's really good. Read this blog, it's really good. Hey, I heard this quote from whoever. You know, those are the things I want to make sure they're serving. So if you're new into this, find a way to serve people. When you serve, you attract. You know, people will follow you if you give them a reason to follow. So don't beg people to follow you. Don't ask people to follow you. If you're good by putting out quality stuff, they will follow.
That is great advice to follow. Thank you for giving us a peek behind the curtain. That's it for episode 2 of our 4-episode series. Be sure to look out for episode 3, where we dive into the performance training world. Until then, let's get back in the gym.